My name is Steve King. If you don't know me, I am a gentleman that they asked to kind of reach out to our military. I'm generally down at Camp Pendleton Marine Base on Sunday mornings, and today our senior pastor is under the weather, and so he is taking the day off, and Pastor Dan as well. He's under the weather. They must have been eating the same food or something there. So anyway, we keep them in your prayers. We want to see them up and running soon. I know a lot of people have been under the weather. Well, I'd like you to pick your Bible up, stand up. We're going to read the Word of God together here. And would you please turn to Psalms 18? Psalms 18. I'm going to kind of skip around a little bit because it's a long psalm. And I'm going to give you a couple verses, and you can do the odd number verses. I'll do the even. And when we change up, and that means I'm going to go 1 through 6, I'm going to go 16 through 19, and then we're going to go 25 through 30 so we can get through this. And these are scriptures, these are texts that really are going to apply to our message today. So with that, let's join together. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me, and the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. And he heard my voice in his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. We'll go down to verse 16 now. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my support. He also brought me up into a broad place and delivered me because he delighted in me. We'll stop there for a second and go down to verse 25, please. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down the haughty looks. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. And we'll stop there. I can leap over a wall. I can do some amazing things when God is on my side. So with that, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for allowing us to come before your precious throne. God, you are on the throne, and everything, again, might be falling around us. But Lord, you never change. Never change. And we place our trust in you today. We ask your blessing upon our time. Our time in your word, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about prayer today and how that really affects our life and the things that maybe you're thinking about. Hey, I want to be a person not only in the Word of God this year, but I want to be a person that prays a little bit more. And we want to look at some, maybe some access, some ability to come into that arena of prayer a little bit easier. And we want to talk about that this morning. Matthew 6, 5, Matthew 6, by the way, if you've not turned there, go ahead and turn to Matthew 6. Right now, we're going to read some things together. Matthew 6, 5, and I'll read that through and just follow along. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your prayer room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place. And your Father who sees in secret, He will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think they will be heard of their many words. Therefore, don't be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I want to talk just a second before we get going here. I've had this happen to me, and I've had really poor luck on it. Would you just take your cell phone out, turn it off? I'm going to do that to mine right now. Okay. You know, I want to talk to you as we enter in, and you can write down the word prayer. Would you just write that down in your bulletin somewhere there? Maybe a piece of paper, just write the word prayer. Do it this way. Do it this way because we want to kind of follow along. We're going to use those as points. So, you know, Matthew 6:33 tells us, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." All what things? All the things that we need for life, for godliness, for the things that need to accompany us. I'll tell you, as you begin to start putting Him in 2009 first on the throne, first in your life, when you get up in the morning and you begin to say, "Lord, I give you this day," I'll tell you, things will begin to start falling into place, the things that you need in your life to survive. God wants to give us those things, but He wants to be on the throne. He wants to be first in our life, and that really is the first commandment of the Ten Commandments. You know, I don't want anything else before me. I want you to look to me on number one, and I'll provide for you. And those are blessings that just come really without prayer, don't they? They just come, and really seeking Him first is prayer is included in that. But there are times that God just allows us to be blessed, things that we did not even pray for, God's provision. Maybe even God's protection. Do you ever find out later on that somebody was just kind of knifing you in the back at work or something like that? Something going on, and later on you found, man, they just shut that guy up. You know, just something happened to him. He's not here anymore or something like that. Or she's just out of the way. When God allows that to happen, that is His protection. Just being His kid. He sticks up for you if you let Him. If you let Him. Then God's position to being our Father. There are blessings abound because He is and we are His kids. But there are times that God wants to just extend to you the opportunity for you and I to come before His throne, to come and begin to ask of Him, begin to say, "Lord, I believe that maybe you want to do this in my life," or, "Oh God, I really want that. That's something in my future I want to do." Or maybe He's sharing something with your heart as you begin to establish in 2009, maybe a new prayer life, a different type of prayer life that you've never had before. You will be amazed what He will begin to do with you. How many have a prayer journal? Anybody have one of those? I'll tell you, if you don't have one, get one of those little binder books, little blank pages on it, and begin to start having something like that. Because I will tell you something. As you begin to start building that prayer life with the Lord, as you begin to start stepping out and saying, "Lord, I want to grow in this thing. I want to grow in the things of God," I'll tell you, you can start writing those things down with the date. This particular scripture really spoke to me this morning. Something that happened over here, I prayed about this, and man, it just happened. And it's not going to be something of a coincidence. It's going to be something that you knew that you prayed for that, and now you were able to see that happen. I'll tell you, there are times that I've watched God in the last few years begin to unfold some ministry that I've been waiting about and waiting for a long time. And all of a sudden, man, they began to unfold. And God had shown me a long time before that this is something along the lines that He wanted to do. And there are times that I'll start saying, oh, God, are you going to open the door here? Or what do you want to do here? I feel compelled to pray for this. And the Lord would have me write that down. I just remember that. But when I go back and I read those over again, it builds my faith up. Just builds my faith up, and it'll build yours too. So I want to encourage you to think about that this year and begin to ask the Lord to, Lord, I want to do this. What is it that you want of me? So we're going to start this. We're going to take that letter there, and I want you to just get that ready. We're going to use that first letter for coming into His presence. We use the word praise. You know, God wants us to praise Him. He wants us to praise Him. I don't know about you, but I like to be around people when maybe you've done something, and I don't need a pat on the back or anything like that, but it's easy to start doing stuff for people that say thanks. Say thanks. You don't have a real big problem with that. So many of us, we receive the blessings of God on a regular basis, and I wonder how often do we give Him back thanks? Jesus talked about those 10 lepers that He had healed. And guess how many came back? One. One came back. Hey, where's the rest, the Lord said. Where's the rest of those guys? Man, all of a sudden, all that stuff, that death sentence that was on them, it's off of them now. And they're gone, and they didn't even come back to give thanks. You know, I'll tell you, if you realize and begin to understand what God has done for you and me, that we have eternal life in heaven, and we don't have that death sentence on us any longer, I'll tell you, we're going to come and give thanks every day of our life. Isaiah 104 tells us, let us enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Psalms 92, 1 and 2. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name. O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. You ever do that? Lord, I'm going to praise you in the morning. And then at night, man, you just go, thanks for getting me through this, Lord. Thanks for getting me through this day. Man, all the things I went through, and maybe it's just something that you're going, oh man, how am I going to get through this? I'll tell you, if you start out your morning, begin to praise Him. Lord, I give you my day. I give you my thoughts today. I allow you to go before me and prepare the day. God, help me, Lord, to get through this day. But you begin to start your whole life every morning in just praising Him, just entering into His courts, into His gates of thanksgiving and praise. As you begin to do that, what happens is you get off the throne and all those other things in your life that are so important, they come off the throne room. And God is in the focus. And I'll tell you, He wants to be number one in your life. He just does. And as you begin to do that, and your heart is loyal to the Lord, God, I want to give you the things. I want to give you my desires. I'll tell you, God will begin to, it's almost like a puzzle being on that table down there. It's all kinds of pieces there. He'll begin to take one at a time or two at a time. And He'll begin to start putting it together. And start building a beautiful picture of your life. He'll begin to start putting those pieces that you wonder, what's this about? Why'd this happen over here? And God will begin to bring those things together for you and for me if we'll put Him first. He is the master. You see, my friends, we were made for His pleasure, not Him for us. We were made for His good pleasure. The Bible says that we are His poetry, His poema. We're His workmanship. And God is working on you and me. But we need to put Him first. But we need to praise Him. It's so important. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, Psalms 147. For it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. Psalms 18:3. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Shall I be saved from my enemies? The pangs of death, and we read this, surrounded me. And the floods of ungodliness made afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. And the snares of death confronted me. And in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. You know, it's just real good advice. Maybe we need to praise God instead of complain. You ever find yourself complaining? Kind of a bad habit. You've been around somebody, it's just kind of a habit. I'm just going to complain about this some more. I think I'll complain a little bit more. And you know, that's just a really bad habit. And that is the opposite, really, of faith. Complaining is just unbelief. Is God running my life? has he gone there? You know, there's times that you get into a line at a market, and I probably shared this before. I always get the one that price check on number three over here, you know, and I'm in number three. You know, I kind of turn around and I just kind of look at the people and almost want to tell them, bad things happen when you get in line with me, you know. God's working patience in me, brother. So, you know, but, you know, and be open. Maybe the Lord wants to do something. You ever try to, I've got to push this thing ahead. I've got to help this thing along. And the Lord says, man, why don't you just wait on me and let me do something here? Because God wants to do that. So we need to come and we need to praise the Lord. Like I said, we get ourselves out of the way and all the other stuff out of the way. And He is in the focus. You know, everything around us can go really dim if we put Him first. And we put Him in His place. You know, there's a story where it talks about, in kind of an acronym, joy, Jesus, and then other people praying for them and you. He won't forget you. Oh, God, I gotta be first in my prayers. And so I got to put me first. You ever find yourself doing that? Lord, I pray for me. And then, you know what? God says, I'm not going to forget you. You remember we read in there, it says, He already knows what you have need of before you even ask Him. I'll tell you, selflessness is something that God looks at. He looks at, He won't forget you, I promise. You can just say, God, I need this help. This is how I want to do it. You don't have to do all that. You can be very brief with the Lord. He doesn't need long prayers. You can come and cry out to Him, and He will hear you, and He will answer. So when we begin to pray and we begin to ask the Lord, it's something that we need to do. We need to praise Him. You know, I was looking at the obituaries. Anybody ever look at these? As you get older, you look at them to see if your friends or yourself is in here, you know. And what's interesting about the obituaries is there's things like, He loved everyone. I mean, He never met a stranger. And He made everybody feel important. And, you know, he leaves behind a loving wife, and his children all loved him and cherished him. They were all, you know, all this stuff. And you wonder, did they ever tell him or her that when they were living? You know, we get really brief opportunities, and there's going to be a time that we will be in heaven. Why not get used to praising Him before we get there? So it's not really odd to you, or it's not foreign to you when you get there. We're going to be spending a long time praising the Lord, and we can do that here on earth. So when we come into His presence, we need to praise Him. Let's do that. Let's allow the Lord to be that. You know what praise does, by the way? It releases a fragrance from your life. 2 Corinthians 2:15 tells us, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved." People will notice a difference about you when you begin to start praising Him, because it's going to release your faith. It's going to release your faith. Maybe not seeing answers yet. I like that. You ever had God kind of start speaking to your heart that He's going to do something? And as He began to start ministering to you, hey, I want to do this in your life. Man, start praising Him. God, I thank You that You want to do this for me. I thank You for what's up ahead. And I can't see the answers yet. And I don't know what's going to happen. But I know that I am in the perfect center of Your will. I know that I'm walking with You. I know that that access is there. And I can come. And I'm going to thank You ahead of time for what You want to do. You know, the second point I want to share this morning is we need to remember who God is. You know, so often we look at the circumstances around us. We look at all the waves beginning to start crashing in and things in our life and troubles and trials and things like that. And so often we lose our focus of the Lord. God wants us to remember who He is. And I think that's something that we need to come and do often. Genesis 1:1 tells us, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Nothing's new to Him. I mean, He designed everything. He put everything together. He made the heavens, which are incredibly vast. I don't know if you've done any statistics or read anything about how big some of those galaxies are up there, but they're huge, and it takes a million years to get from this one to this side. You know, that's big, and God's big. John's Gospel tells us that in chapter 1, 2, He was in the beginning, speaking of Jesus. And all things were made through Him, and with Him nothing was made that was made, or without Him nothing was made that was made. Psalms 147:7 tells us, "He heals the brokenhearted This is something that God does. And He binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars and He calls them all by name. Great is our God and mighty in power. His undertaking is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble and He casts down the wicked to the ground. He covers the heavens with clouds and prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass to grow on the mountains and He gives to the beasts its food. He causes the wind to blow and the waters to flow. Jeremiah 32:27 tells us, when everything is looking pretty bleak, and this is what Jeremiah says, "Behold, I am the Lord," speaking of God, "of all flesh, is there anything too hard for me?" Anything too hard for the Lord? You know, so often we look at just to see our resources. Well, God, if you don't come through, I got this somewhere. There's some type of an ace in the hole somewhere. I've got something here hidden out in case you don't make it. And the Lord says, man, I'll bring stuff out of the woodwork. I'll bring it stuff. I'll speak it if I have to. God is able. Maybe you don't know His resources. And maybe you look at what you see and God says, I want you to look at what you don't see. I want you to be able to trust me. You know, we were up at our cabin this last week. And we have an old cabin that's been in our family for many, many years. And nobody even goes up there hardly anymore. The boys all said, hey, we want to go up there for New Year's. So, okay. So we packed up the car and went up just to check it out ahead of time to get it ready. We're going to invite some friends up and relax up there. And so we drove up the hill, got there, and everything was, you know, just snowed over. I mean, snow was this. You know, you walk in and your leg just goes down into the snow. It's just, I haven't seen that much snow up there in years. And snow's coming off the house. But the driveway, I mean, we didn't have a place to park. The snow plowed come through and it forgot to clean our driveway out, you know. And it had to be this high. It was just this high. And we found some place down the road where nobody was home, parked in their driveway. And came back and we undid the cabin, went inside and everything was okay. It wasn't leaking too bad. And so as we got ready, I said to the boys, I said, we're not coming up here. And they said, well, why not, Dad? I go, look at the driveway. And I mean, this thing is just filled. I mean, it's just filled with snow and ice. And they go, well, Dad, you're just not thinking. You're just, you know, so of a bummer about this whole thing. So anyway, everybody got, we're the inside of the cabin. We're looking out at the driveway and it's just snowed over. And so we thought, okay, I'm going to quit talking like that. So everybody grabbed a shovel, and there's three of us, and we start digging. You know, and I start digging, and I hurt my arm immediately. I said, guys, I just better just be quiet. And, I knew that there's no way we're going to start on this thing, but there's no way we're going to get this place dug. And about that time, I hear this noise down the hill, coming down. And we just have been out of the house maybe about 3 minutes. Out of all that time and all those circumstances and every conversation that's going on, been in the house for 3 minutes. We're standing on that, and all of a sudden, a tractor comes down the hill. I look at it, and he backs up, and he comes up the hill where our cabin is, and he pulls it right in the driveway and goes, need some help? And I said, sure. And in about 8 minutes, he had that place completely cleaned out, ready for some cars, ready to go. And a very minimal amount of money that we gave this guy. I mean, it was just incredible. But the thing that I would share with you is so often we just look at, I can't do it. I can't do it. And God says, man, I'll do it if you'll look at me. You begin to take your eyes off of me and begin to look. Now, we didn't even pray. My boys had some type of faith there, but you know what? God brings things our way if we begin to look and begin to recognize that He's running our life. So we need to remember that He's able. He knows before we even ask of Him what we need. So Jesus, others, and then me. Well, the third point I want to share with you is we need to ask. We need to be an asking people. I want to look at Matthew 7. Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door, or it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who asks a son for bread, or a son asks him for bread, we'll give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatsoever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. God wants us to be an asking people. He wants us to be a people that ask him. You know, he compares himself to earthly fathers in an interesting way. He says, you guys are evil compared to me. You guys that are evil, but you love your kids. How much more do I want to give to you? How much more do I want to work in your life? God wants us to ask and be an asking people. Psalms 34:15 tells us, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to our cries. Psalms 91:15 says, and he shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him, and I will honor him. Psalms 145:18, the Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desire, I love that, of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry, and he will save them. You know, my friends, we are not a people of fate. It's like, well, whatever happens, happens. It was going to happen anyway. That's not really Christianity, and that's really not a life that we have to live with. God says, I want you to pray. And not only will I change things, but I'll change you as you pray. I'll begin to turn things around that seem to be moving in a bad way. And it begins to turn around, starts moving in a good way towards his kingdom. God wants us to be a praying people and just say, well, this was going to happen anyway. Oh, no, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Not necessarily. You know, God wants us to come and be intercessors. You know, many years ago, and God does not, by the way, need our help as we begin to pray. Well, I better help him along with this. Not necessarily. There are times that the Lord just says, you know what, let me do it. Take your hands off this. Watch what I will do. Years ago, my son Kevin was given a little plastic, and this is many years ago, given a little plastic lawnmower for Christmas. And we had a big backyard. We lived in Bellflower, and I used to go out every Saturday and mow the lawn, get it all and ready to go. And Kevin would come out, and he had this new lawnmower. It was plastic. And he would come right, and we've even got videos of it. And I would start mowing the lawn, and Kevin would be right there with me with his little lawnmower. He's helping me. He's helping me. And I liked having him there. We'd have a good time of fellowship together. But was he really helping me? There wasn't any blade on that lawnmower. Wasn't anything on it. I mean, he'd just go along, and Mom's taking the video, and he's helping Dad. And we're having a good time together. Did I need him there? Nah, not really. But I liked having him there. Now, I got to tell you something even better. I was up at the cabin. We were opening up gifts. Matter of fact, we were at our house. We were opening up gifts, and his son, Brandon, he got a new lawnmower, too. Looked kind of like Kevin's old lawnmower. Except it was new. But his was more powerful. He had a little bottle that you screwed on it, and it would blow bubbles when he would help his dad mow his lawn. You know, but isn't it like you and me that so often we try to help God, and yet we've got that little powerless lawnmower that we're going along that doesn't really have anything, and it doesn't help us do anything, but God wants us to be a part of it. God, help me with this. You know, I'll flat do it for you. Watch God do it if you leave it to him. Lord, help me with this. Lord, I want to be with you. I want to do what you want to do. And the question is, and really the whole clux of the whole thing is, God's got a work to do and says, hey, I want you to come alongside me and I'll use you and I'll let you be a part of it. Just come on in and allow me to do some amazing things. So ask. We need to be a people that ask the Lord to do some things within our life. You know, 2 Chronicles 16:9 tells us, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking to show himself strong to those whose hearts are loyal to him. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. So God wants to do some awesome things with you and I, but we need to come and we need to ask him. Does God always answer our prayers? Yeah, he does. Well, sometimes it's no. And we don't like that so often. It's no, Lord. You know, what's going on here? I heard you. And the Lord says, you know what? If I give you this, it's going to begin to take you away from me. It's going to begin to take your attention away from me if I give you this. And sometimes we have to be happy with no. And say, Lord, your will be done. And you will find later on in life, when he denied whatever it was that he denied you, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Next part is slow. Sometimes we need to wait on the Lord. And God just says, you know what? I'm leading you down there and we're moving in that direction. But sometimes you need to wait on me. You need to wait on me. I'm doing some work in your life. I'm cutting up some rough edges on you. I'm going to make you and conform you more and more. And I'm going to mature you within your life. So sometimes we need to just wait on the Lord. Not try to get ahead of him. And then so finally, the final one is go. There are times that God just gives you a green light. And says, that's exactly what I have for you. I'm opening the doors for you. We ask him, you receive. You seek and you will find. And then finally, you knock, and it's open to you. That's what it's about. So sometimes it's no, sometimes it's slow. Wait on the Lord, and sometimes it's go. Let's go ahead. Let's move on with what he has. Finally, this final point is you. You. So what stops us are our prayers from being answered. It is us. We are the ones that hold it back. Sometimes we don't see our prayers answered or our life being blessed by the Lord. We need to take some inventory, don't we? Need to maybe do a heart check and say, God, what's going on? Is there something in my life that is displeasing to you? Sometimes it can be pride. The Bible says that God resists the proud. He resists you. He just holds himself back from you. But he gives grace. And that means favor. That means smile. I smile upon those that are humble. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. James 4:6. Unforgiveness. Remember, we read that earlier. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And that's Matthew 6:14. You know what? It's just plain old sin sometimes. And I think you don't have to go too far to look that God might be speaking to your heart right now and saying, you know what? You got something in your life that I want to deal with. Galatians 5:19 has a whole boatload of them that describe some of those things that we need to maybe get rid of. You know, we were up at the cabin and I was walking up a stairway. And this is an old place. It's splintery and things are falling apart. And as I grabbed the rail, a big giant splinter went right up my thumb. Oh, man. I looked at it and I broke it off. Well, that was stupid because the rest is inside, you know, and you can't even get it out. And I sat there that night and everybody was watching a movie and I took a needle and tried to dig this thing out. Man, it just got worse, inflamed. And my wife came up to me and she says, what's the matter? And I told her what happened and she prayed for me. But there was no way of getting this out. As a matter of fact, it was so deep in there, I figured, well, I'll probably have to, you know, cut the nail off or something to get to this thing. It's deep in there. But the next day, we have a whirlpool tub at home, and I got in that thing soaked for about an hour and a half, just soaking that hand. And then the next day, it began to start moving out, began to start kind of, the body was rejecting this thing. It began to start pushing it out. And I was able to just reach down and take my fingernail and pull it out. And it's kind of nice, but it's that way with our lives, my friend, that sometimes things get stuck in us and harbor and just stay there and we can't get rid of them. And the Lord says many times you need to get prayed for sometimes. And sometimes you need to just get into the Word of God. And the Bible talks about washing in the water of the Word. Begin to just take a bath in the Word of God and let it speak to you and let it clean you up. And those things in your life that are holding you back from Him will begin to just start making their way out. God will begin to use the Word of God to begin to convict you. And it'll start moving out. Now, when I go to 2009, I don't want that in my life anymore. I don't need this in my life anymore. And He goes through our lives and begins to start cleaning things out. I share with Marines on Sunday mornings and I try to think up stories that they can relate to, and one of them is, gentlemen, you have an M16A2 service rifle that you are cleaning right now. And sometimes I go into the squad bays and I'm able to do just a kind of a mini service in there to pray for their families and them because they can't make it to church. And I said, what if that rifle does not work right? What do you do? And they all yell back out as hard as they can. They yell out, tap, rack, and bang. Tap, rack, and bang. And really what it is, and I said, you know, I said, you're like that. I said, God is tapping on your heart, and He's saying, there's something in your life that's messed up, and I'm trying to get your attention. And then number two, they rack it, and that means taking the bolt of the rifle, pulling it back, and seeing what's jamming things up inside. And I said, you need to pull back and let God work in your heart. And if there's something that's jamming things up, you need to ask Him to take it out, and you need to give it to Him. And then number three, you can bang, you put it back, you slide it back, you have the ammunition, you're able to hit the target, and it's able to work properly. My friends, if we will allow God to have His way, when He begins to say, I want that, I need that in your life, it's holding you back from Me, and I'm working it out of your life, but you got to give it to Me. I'll tell you, He'll do that. And you'll find that your prayers will be on target again, and you'll be working right, and everything just kind of comes together. It's like that puzzle we talked about. It starts coming together, and it's beautiful, and it's wonderful. But you've got to give Him His place. You've got to say, Lord, number one, we need to praise Him. See? Number two, we need to remember who He is, that He is God, and He sits on His throne, and He's made everything, including you and I. We need to be an asking people. And then whatever holds it back from being answered, it's You. It's Me. Father, I pray now that as we look to You for prayer, as we look to You in this new year, God, we, many of us, are going to need Your help. We're going to call upon You, and we want You to be near to us because You said that I would hear those when they cry out to Me. So, Lord, we call upon You today. And we ask You, Father, to mend us and shape us. And many of us have broken hearts. Many of us going through some wounded things within our life. Many of us are just don't know what's up ahead, and we're very uncertain for the future, God, but You know the future because it's in Your hands. Our life and our times are in Your hands, Lord, and we commit that to You. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, I'm going to pray a very, very simple prayer, and I ask that you just repeat it with me. Lord Jesus, I ask You to come into my life. I pray that You would forgive me of my sins. I thank You for dying on the cross for me, taking my sin, Lord, and taking my place. I thank You that I will live with You forever. In Jesus' name, amen.